Lauren?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Before we start, I just want to say that two of our board members had unavoidable conflicts. They're going to be here later, so excuse them when they come in. Is our high school student government representative here? Yeah.
Hi. Good evening. The high school has been busy with all of the events occurring in the building lately. Last Friday, the juniors on our moot court team competed in Northport's 43rd annual Law Day. They showed great spirit and effort and made it to the semifinal round. This Wednesday, our first official poetry night will be held with our newest club, the Writers Cafe. We're very excited to hear the voices of our students. Our school musical, The Sister Act, is this Thursday at 4:30 and Friday and Saturday at 8 o'clock. Come on down and show your support for our hardworking drama department. Monday, May 1st, is Senior Decision Day, a day where we celebrate all seniors and their post-graduation plans. To commemorate their hard work, we've created a senior decision tree, which features not only our students' college decisions, but any other plans they've decided to make if they aren't committing. Thank you so much for your time, and good night.
Thank you. And our middle school representative?
Hi, I'm Christian Lamantia. How you doing?
Hi, welcome.
Thank you. So spring is off to a great start in the middle schools. Fallon Middle School Student Council and Service Club engaged in the Project Replenish initiative, helping those in need in our community. Beginning on March 1st, concluding on March 31st, they collected food and hygiene items to stock the Mid-Island-wide JCC food pantry. The food pantry provides much-needed food, basic pantry staples, and toiletries for more than 100 clients a month. The food pantry is a concierge-style pantry where recipients have the ability to select the provisions most suited to their personal and household needs. Each map was provided with recyclable bags to collect the items. Both clubs took a trip to the Mid-Island YJCC where they weighed over 130 pounds of food and learned how their efforts help those in need. 7th grade family consumer science entrepreneurs created edible cookie dough products and competed for the Heinz Company profit. All proceeds from the cookie dough sale will be donated to Relay for Life. In honor of the National Autism Awareness Month, all faculty and staff participated in the Light Matlin Up Blue on Friday, April 7th. Faculty, staff, and students wore blue to support this cause. Our map group signed individual puzzle pieces, which were given to Mrs. D'Ambrosio, who is working with our tag students to create a large blue ribbon to display in our school. Tickets for Matlin's production of High School Musical are now on sale. Tickets are $9. The first session of High School 101 took place on Wednesday, April 19th. High school peer mentors spoke with our 8th grade students regarding clubs and extracurricular activities. Matlin Service Club has kicked off the Relay for Life season. They'll be planting a garden of hope in the courtyard full of purple flowers that will bloom each time this year. They also created and are selling wish bracelets for $5. To continue the dialogue in our community surrounding responsible and informed internet usage, the Matlin School Guidance Counselor has created the internet safety surveys for both students and parents. Our goal is to understand more about our students' online and technology use. The survey was distributed via email to parents last week. Students are completing the surveys this week. Thank you, that's all.
Thank you very much. Sounds like a lot going on in the middle schools. Thank you. Okay, now we're going to go on to board announcements. Lauren?
So parents of the robotics team from Matlin were invited by Ms. Patanjo to a celebration party to celebrate their accomplishments for a bagel breakfast. So I want to thank Ms. Patanjo. But what I did notice when speaking with other parents is the amount of new students that want to get involved in robotics. So I know there were two teams that were this year, but who knows how many teams there'll be next year. So it's an exciting time, and it's showing us how really the future is in the robotics field and how many students are coming out and wanting to be a part of this. So it's great and telling at the same time. So thank you to Ms. Patanjo and the excitement she puts forth with these kids.
Thank you. Okay, then I have a couple. I wanted to remind everybody that on Thursday, May 4th at Stratford Road from 7 to 8:30, the district is sponsoring a substance abuse forum titled The Effects of Drug Abuse on the Brain, presented by Dr. Stephen Dewey. It's a program for parents and or community members, but not for students. So I urge you to attend. I also wanted to mention that some of us had gone to Stratford Road's birthday wishes fundraiser and celebration, which is a collaboration between staff, PTA, and students, where they collect gifts and party accessories, wrapping paper, etc., for children who may not otherwise have birthday parties and receive presents. And it was really a great night. The kids and the staff were so enthusiastic, and you really got a great sense of community from the event. So I congratulate them. And I guess that's it. So superintendent announcements.
I also attended that birthday wishes with Debbie. Wonderful, wonderful program. And what's great about it, it is the PTA and teachers working together from the ground up, and it was wonderful. Today we hosted over 500 projects in the POB Middle School, the Long Island Science and Engineering Fair. Most of it was in another language, I would admit, but because... we had many of our students presenting, and I know Jill and I tried to run around to make sure we spoke to our students, but we had students from across Nassau County in all the schools, and they are, I tell you, the future looks good, because these kids are on the ball and really doing fantastic work. And this year we hosted some younger ones as well. So it was in the main gym, 9 through 12, and then in the auxiliary gym, half of the auxiliary gym, with students from around the county in 7th and 8th grade. Wonderful. I have to give tribute to the teachers, all of the POB teachers, and of course all the Long Island research teachers who put this together. Impressive, very impressive.
Yeah, Mona, I just want to comment that Ray Tesser leads the organization and this event, so it is really a year in the planning that he initiates this and coordinates it. And as you can imagine, 500 students coming from other, 480-something coming from other districts is quite the undertaking. POB Middle School is very accommodating. But I do want to comment on what Dr. Lewis said with regard to the preparation of the students. Not only are kids here in Plainview, but to see those projects and the level of research that these students have done at such a young age. I mean, to see, you know, this is not the top fair, so these are 9th, 10th, predominantly 11th, maybe second level 12th graders. And if this is kind of the step down of the fairs, it's really truly amazing, and it's pretty exciting to see kids so involved at this level and so energetic about their research and studying at such a high level at such a young age. Mm. So quite impressive. Right.
So on Friday, several districts were concerned about a particular program on Netflix, 13 Reasons Why. It is, I sent out notices to parents asking them to watch it with their children. It is a series. It is a very delicate subject. It's a very around suicide and... I didn't send it out to all of the parents this weekend because I had not seen it myself. So what I did do is I sent it out to the the PTA presidents and the PTA council, because I wanted them to also take a look at it. I wanted to be sure that it was something that was appropriate. I didn't want to just jump on the bandwagon. So now that I feel comfortable that with the right letter, I will send that out to parents, but I will send it out just prior to the weekend so that people will have the time to watch it with their children. I don't want to send it out during the week because I know parents are very busy and they, you know, they won't have the time to sit and watch it with their children. But it's a very important series and the kids are watching it, and I don't want to know that they're watching it by themselves. They should be watching it with their parents. So I will send a letter, e-blast it out on Friday, so that parents will be able to watch it over the weekend with their children. But the PTAs all have it, and I hope, and I know some of them have, in fact, looked at it and sent me some comments. But it's you know, we're living in an age where these documentaries are on, and I just wasn't comfortable without having seen it or, you know, sending it out. So if people say, or if you see it on Facebook, why didn't this district send it out? I didn't want to jump on the bandwagon. I wanted to be sure that it was something that I felt comfortable sending out. But I did send it out to the PTAs.
Yeah, and I think to reiterate some of the things that we're hearing from the principals was really trying to get the message across that this would be something that a parent should be watching with their children. But what we understand is happening is many children are watching this amongst their peers or kind of sitting home alone watching this. So
it is not
really, really
alone.
Important that a parent is watching it with their child and knows the content prior to watching it.
Yeah. So I will be sending it out on an e-blast. I'm going to craft a message that's appropriate. But that's the reason I didn't send it out before. We have a starfish among us. Did you know starfish was like my sign, you know, in the past? I always had starfish jewelry. But anyway, now we have a starfish among us. NASBO, which is the New York State business group, has nominated and has asked in his honor, and the work that he's done has awarded the school a $1,000 student scholarship to be used in the school in recognition of Rich's work. So it's his organization granting a scholarship to our children in recognition of the work that he does for that organization. And so, congratulations, Mr. Starfish. I don't think we reported on DECA. We had, yes, so the DECA,
We will be reporting on
DECA. We have 73 students going to Anaheim, California for the next level of competition based on their
New York
recognition in the New York State Division.
Right. And finally, I know they mentioned it, but this weekend is Sister Act. And so it's not to be missed, especially on Friday and Saturday.
Dr. Lewis has a small part.
There are no small
parts. Oh, that's true. She has a major part.
They're only small actors. Anyway, the kids are delightful. I have to say that it is just, it's another level of my superintendency. They have brought life to it. They are so kind to me. They are so kind. Every time I do anything, they go, like they're not expecting me to do it. It's amazing. But when you work with kids, you come alive. And that's
true.
That's why we do what we do. So please do not miss it. It's really worth. Friday is matinee and
Thursday's the matinee.
I'm sorry. Thursday's matinee and Friday and Saturday are the place.
She
I won't. I won't. Actually, a student is. And she'll do a much better job than I will. But anyway, I'll be there. And I have my costume.
I'm going to have video of it, though.
I have my costume. I'm just fabulous. I tried it on. It looks great. We have dress rehearsals tomorrow. It's really good. Mr. Oliveri is a saint. That's all I can say. He's a saint. His whole family. But really, you don't know how much teachers give when they when they're involved
it's
in these
true.
Extracurricular activities. There's no stipend that we can give, really, that reflects
Nina's
the work that
well,
they
Nina's
do.
Saying maybe you could come up with one.
None. Right. But really, he really is. He's there, you know, Saturday, all day Saturday. It's just
he works around the clock.
Around the clock. And all the people. But please turn out and see the show. That's it.
Okay. Then we're going to go on to reports and discussions, and the first report would be the Beechwood Agreement.
So we want to give a brief update on the Beechwood Agreement, which is an agreement we went into as a district with the Beechwood organization back in October of 2013. And most recently, as the commercial project started ramping up, our agreement really is triggered off of the residential part, and there have been a lot of legalese, I'll put it that way, that's been going on between our attorneys and the Beechwood group. So we thought we'd take a moment for Barbara Allo to give you an update to explain a bit of the resolution that appears later on the docket.
So the resolution that appears tonight, there are two amendments to the Beechwood Agreement with the district. The First Amendment, it's actually called Amendment, not First Amendment. It reflects the change in the dates for the payments to the district, as well as a date change in the time period for the delivery of an evergreen letter of credit. That letter of credit ensures the payments are made. If the payments aren't made in a timely fashion, the district then can collect off of this letter of credit. So the agreement, the original agreement, called for the first payment to be made to the district 60 days after Beechwood received certain building permits. So Beechwood has advised that it's ready to make the first payment. So and would make it together with a delivery of a letter of credit. So the amendment reflects this change and also sets April 1, 2018 and April 1, 2019 as the due date for the subsequent two payments. So the first payment would be made tomorrow if this agreement is approved by the district. Then there is a second amendment also as part of that resolution. So now Beechwood has advised that it's going to be Beechwood POB, which is the organization that the district has the agreement with, as indicated, it's going to be making its payment obligation through another related entity, Beechwood Plainview Old Beth Page LLC. So the second amendment just reflects that this other entity, Beechwood Plainview Old Beth Page LLC, is also obligated under the original school district agreement from October 2013, and Beechwood POB LLC, which is the original signatory, is also remains liable as well. So that's what those two amendments reflect. Do you have any questions?
Then we're going to go on to our second report, which would be the Capital Projects Update presentation.
I should have had that.
Okay, we might move through this before the screen completely warms up. But I want to give you an idea of the work that happened during our April recess. While school was out, there was a lot going on here, including the groundbreaking of two classrooms. Here is a groundbreaking ceremony at Pasadena. And you can see that in the upper left-hand corner. 5 days later, forms were already in place and they were pouring concrete. So that was something significant and kind of brought out the giddiness in me in a strange kind of way that we actually have concrete, and that means we'll be going up soon and it'll start to look like a classroom very quickly. We also had the groundbreaking at Judy Jacobs. This is a more visible project because it's right out in front of the building. Forms are in place now, but they didn't pour concrete yet. That is soon to come. We did find some unexpected things underneath the ground there, including a wall of an old house that apparently used to be on the premises that didn't show up in our markouts, and an abandoned gas line that seemed to go into the old house. However, we called in Keyspan to make sure it could be abandoned. But those are the only surprises we got in that. And we are right on target with our project to date. We also are renovating the classrooms in the former kindergarten center. This work will be fully completed during the summer.
Okay.
But our own people are re-sheet rocking. You can see the ceiling grids are going in. We have installed new lighting in many of the spaces. And pretty soon we'll be putting a bid out for potential work to improve the heating in those classrooms. They do not have univents. That's not the way the building was designed. But while we have everything open, we think we should put those classrooms together right. We also installed new lockers on the back hallway where the kindergartners are now on the second floor. So we installed new lockers there during the break. Outside, we saw our first customers on the new Matlin Middle School playground today.
Did you see them?
This project was funded by a grant secured by the late Judy Jacobs. So it takes a while for all of these things to happen, from the awarding of the grant to getting all of the paperwork done to having all the approvals in place. This was taken last week as we were putting the wood chips in, but now it's level and we saw children on the playground today. This is the back of POB Middle School. They don't look very elegant, but these are the first new windows that went in during the break. We chose to work in places where students might be after school as well. So these are actually behind our in locker rooms. So knowing that students would be in there for sports and things like that, we decided to work here first. And now as you drive by, you'll see the window contractors working after school hours in more visible locations, such as in the vicinity of the music rooms. We also finished the visitor side bleachers that are handicap accessible up here at our football field. This was secured through funding with Chuck Levine. If you remember previously, we had rolling bleachers there that the town of Oyster Bay would literally store there, and they were on grass. So we poured a concrete platform and installed the handicap accessible bleachers. We've contacted his office to let him know that the project's done to see if he would like to come and take a look at that with us. Are there any questions?
Can I just make a comment? So today I was over at Parkway and they were doing some of the, working on the extension there. And you see you got some of the construction workers out with their rulers and measuring tape. And what a great atmosphere to have students. Oftentimes we do these projects in the summer and we say what an inconvenience. It can be during the school year. But what an opportunity to really see, the skill set, that the things the kids are learning in school, and to bring them. They can be right in the teacher's faculty lounge looking right out the window for this. So Mr. Sesney and I really talked about taking advantage of the opportunity. And, oftentimes we criticize the project, but in fact, it's, I think, really helpful to see kids see it in action.
Nice.
Or STEAM in action or something
exactly.
Like that.
Okay, yeah, there's a lot going on, and we look forward to another big summer. Are there any other questions?
Thanks so much.
Thanks.
Okay.
Lights.
What's
that? Oh,
you
don't have a clapper.
Oh. Okay, now we're going to go into public participation. District policy number 1510.1 provides that persons wishing to make comments or raise questions shall, one, state their name and address, and two, indicate on whose behalf they are speaking if a non-resident. The policy prohibits public discussion on matters relating to staff and students at which their reputation, privacy, or rights to due process, or those of others, could in some way be violated. We thank you in advance for being respectful of all speakers and staff members. Remarks are limited to 3 minutes. The floor is now open.
Good evening. Jacques Wolfner, 151 Sutton Drive in Plainview. Looking at tonight's agenda, on item 8.5, I believe there is a cost to the district, but looking at the flyer, there also seems to be a cost to the parents.
Do you want Rich to?
There are three programs being offered, and costs vary from Mad Science is $330, Engineering for Kids is $365, and Karate is $220. When you're talking about kindergartners, first and second graders, I, as an engineer, can't figure out how you're going to teach engineering to those young kids when they haven't even mastered arithmetic. My other question here is on
the... Wait, so what was your question?
Oh, I don't have a question. It's a comment.
Okay.
Though the question would be, will those tuition costs to the parents go back to the district, or will they be held, or will they go to the Learning Means Fund?
Do we want to answer that?
So the these are before school programs, and they're revenue neutral. In other words, we contract with companies, they come in, they run the program, and that's the cost. So we're not making any money on it, and no profits.
Not spending any money.
And we're not spending any
money. So if I could just clarify, it goes into a form of a trust and agency fund. We actually call it the other fund. Child care runs out of the same fund.
Right.
Okay. Thank you. Also on the capital projects, are we on schedule and on budget or over budget, under budget? We probably have had some extras. I'd like just a brief summary of where we are.
Okay, right now we're on budget. As you know, we had some projects such as the windows come in over budget. We had other projects fortunately came under budget, such as all of our roofing projects. So right now we are on budget, but it's not because every project has come in on budget. So we're doing well right now.
So I'm going to ask, pardon me, mm-hmm. but the next time we report on capital projects, we'll do a financial update.
And I presume then we don't have to go into the contingency allowances. Thank you.
We'll prepare a report at the next meeting.
Chuck, I just want to give you a quick example of an engineering project with our primary students. They have access to iPads, and the second graders are creating brooders for their chicks to hatch. So they do their design using blocks on the iPad. Then they take our new Imagination Playground life-size blocks to create that brooder to see what it looked like in real life, even though they're not creating the exact example, but they're engineering it, deciding where the angle should be in second grade.
Okay. Thank you, Joe.
Daniel Dugan, 7 Redwood Drive. I'm here on behalf of my son, Michael. Thanks, pal.
Is that better?
Thank you. Good evening. Last time the board met, I think we might have discussed or I discussed some of the issues that I had with the kindergarten cutoff date. I had asked maybe to look into three of those areas, one being when it was moved, why it was moved, and what was the benefit to the students for moving it. Did anybody come up with a answer to any of those questions?
We were unaware, to tell you the truth, from what I've heard, that we've changed.
Not in recent.
No, at some point in time. Yeah. Yeah, I did. I did at the last meeting, correct. Thank you for your help. I had asked if we could find out when it was changed, knowing that it didn't recently happen.
No,
I think if you remember,
when was it established to be December 3rd? It's been more than 20 years. It's definitely no board member and Ginger.
It's been more than 30 years.
More than 30 years.
I clearly know that nobody here had any part.
Let me start by saying it's
an inadvertent mistake, in my opinion. Inadvertent, not done intentionally, and I know none of you were here for it. But what I'm saying is...
It depends on who's at, you know, the perspective of the, you know, there are some parents who would argue that it isn't. But in your case...
Okay. Yes, in my case, it caused an inadvertent problem. You would agree. Thank you. I appreciate that. Okay. But nobody really knows the benefit to the students for having that?
Well, what I did do was I provided the board with the data on the... Because you brought up the issue of the December birthdays. So I actually did the research to determine how many children in the elementary school have December birthdays and how many of them were... being educated along the December 31st deadline, and how many would have who held their children back?
Correct. If I remember correctly, it was roughly 109 people.
Correct.
69 opted in, and roughly 30 opted out.
Right.
Which
was
almost 40% declined to put their kid into kindergarten.
Right. So any changes would then affect those 69 people going
forward.
But
40% opted out, thinking that it may not be a great idea for whatever reason they personally came to.
Right, right, which people, you know, a lot of people have that option.
And when you add the element of a disabled child to that, it gets magnified by...
There's no question, Mr. Dugan, I am right there with you. But there are laws, and we've got an attorney and two attorneys who are guiding the board, but I'm right there with you.
Okay. I guess it's confusing not being a lawyer to understand what's happened here by accident, again, in my opinion, on how we go about possibly fixing it. With that being said, I'm just going to read what I prepared just so I don't get off track.
Okay.
Tonight I stand before you for a second time to plead with you with the issue of the kindergarten cutoff date in conjunction with disabled children having severe delays related to medical problems. I appreciate the phone call I received after the April 5th meeting, which expressed the board's sympathy in our situation and the willingness to help within the district guidelines. The problem is, unfortunately, the district guidelines. My son is not developmentally ready for kindergarten for a multitude of medical occurrences. The district has inadvertently created a problem for handicapped children by extending the state's recommended cutoff date of December 1st to December 31st. I think there seems to be some confusion on my stance of the cutoff date. I do not care if you change the date. I'm asking for the school to adopt language to protect special needs children, which does not currently exist, perhaps even a medical review. Our district virtually stands alone on moving the cutoff date. As a district, we should realize the problem this policy has caused and address it for every child who will be negatively impacted by the issue in the future. As a community, we would never and should never tolerate a policy which inadvertently negatively impacts people due to things like race, creed, or sexual orientation. Why is it okay for a policy to cause disadvantages for handicapped children? As parents, we instill morals in our children. Morals like stand up for those who can't stand up for themselves. Do the right thing when making difficult decisions and admit a mistake even if it was an inadvertent one. The board has the opportunity here to lead by example. Come to the aid of an innocent child who was dealt an unfortunate start to life and prevent this unforeseeable set of circumstances from happening to another child in the future. From your reaction, as you stated just before, at the April 5th meeting, it sounds as though you were not aware of the issue, even though it was brought to the attention of pupil services and the superintendent in early March. I don't blame anyone in this room for what happened. However, it now has been brought to your attention. The district is not painted into a corner here. Sufficient medical documentation has been provided, which should allow for flexibility in the district's policy, and it should prevail in certain cases. It was explained to us that the district's legal representative was consulted, and the district cannot make an exception for a single student. This is not about just one student. It's about every student, every disabled child, who this policy will impact in the future. As we all know, families with disabled children face a lifetime of challenges, stress, and sleepless nights. As a district, as compassionate human beings, do you want to create yet another unnecessary obstacle? My wife and I literally picked out my son's gravesite at St. Charles Cemetery. What's going on here is wrong. It's wrong. He should remain in his current pre-K setting at ACDS. I have been repeatedly told by the district, we wanted to do what's best for our children. The opportunity now presents itself to you to show the community that it's not just some unfulfilled promise. Thank you.
Thank you.
My name is Jack Dugan. I'm his grandfather. I wasn't going to speak tonight. I'll try to get this out quickly. From the time he's been born, he's been fighting. He spent the year on his back. He can't speak right and can't swallow because his trach was located on the left side and the muscles never developed.
Father, don't go not die.
I need a translator for that because I have no idea what he says half the time. I have a 2-year-old granddaughter who's very healthy. She's in the 50th percentile of height and weight, and 25% in weight, and she's the same size as he is. He's allegedly 4 years old. It's not true.
What?
When he was born on the 23rd of December, what? It was an accident.
Why?
Mistake. He was supposed to be born April
12th.
So we're not talking a cutoff date. We're talking a cutoff date that's medically determined, not what should have been determined. So he's already behind, plus a year on his back. As I said, my son is right, which is why I got upset. They went to St. Charles, and we're considering the gravesite. We've been told for years, for months, not years, that he was going to die, and we had to get used to it. He didn't. He's supposed to be blind. He's not. He was not supposed to survive his birth. He did. So all I'm asking is to help him out and look at it. Even if you look at it legally, he's protected. He's underweight. And he's premature. He has a Medicaid card because he's federally protected as a disabled child. You can look at it that way. You can look at it with the fact that he should have been born April 12th, which is logical, not March 12th, not February, not January, April 12th. He was 1 pound, 10 ounces on his birth. The next day he was 1 pound, 7 ounces. They had to figure out how to feed him. He was medevaced to CHOP, which is the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia. He wasn't supposed to survive that. Kid's a fighter. Give him a chance. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Good evening. Thanks for the opportunity to address you. My name is Robert Burns. I don't live in the district, and I'm here to speak on behalf of Michael. I do live in the Oceanside School District. I was a parent who put 3 kids through the district. And I just want to say that their age determination for school is the same as yours. I don't know that there's that many districts that use that cutoff date, but obviously there was a utilitarian principle that caused that decision to be made at some point in time. The difference, though, is in Oceanside, a child like Michael, someone who opts, or a parent who opts for that child to hold him or her back for a variety of reasons. And we know that a year's difference or 11 months difference for a quote-unquote normal child can be challenging. But that our district has a district-wide pre-K and K program, and for those parents who choose to keep them behind, can retain the services that they normally would receive. So there would be no difference if they were held back and they needed special services, they would be provided. So I think that's what the family is asking for, and I think that's the important issue before you all, because I know it's not just about one child, but it is. That's what makes us different than any other place in the world, and that's what should make you different, is that it is about that one child. When I send and you send your children to a counselor at a high school to make a choice about going to college, you don't put that child, that teenager, in a box and decide just based on statistics or something what's best for them. That counselor makes a decision based on what's best for that individual. Okay? That's an individual. Michael is an individual with distinct problems. I don't think it's going to break this school district to create a policy that allows him to be what he could be. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you. So I just, because you brought up the Oceanside District, as the statistics I've shared, our parents can hold children back. So we have the same parameters as Oceanside. I know what the issues are here, but we have the same conditions. We don't have a pre-K program here. But we have the same parameters as Oceanside.
If I may clarify what he's trying to get at, is the other two districts that are involved here is Mineola and Oceanside.
Right.
Those districts both have I'm not saying we should start that, follow what I'm saying. They both have a pre-K program.
Okay.
So it actually acts as a safety net. So the date's really not relevant because if they opt out of kindergarten, they're caught by that district's pre-K. And then the district still has the services that are provided for special needs.
Right.
What happens here is, actually, I just got a hard lesson this week. I left here to go do some investigating. We had the break that came up since the last time we met. I couldn't get any answers. I got some answers this week. I can't apply to these schools. I was going to pay out of pocket and eat the expense just to put him in a better situation. A school like ACDS, Little Village, and Variety, I stopped calling because I got the same answer. I figured it's a universal answer. A part of a program called the 4410. It does not allow me to pay for it. I'm stuck.
Okay. Why don't you allow us to speak to our legal counsel again, okay?
I appreciate it. It's just, what
we hear what you're saying, and we're sympathetic.
Oh, I know.
You know?
But I'm not getting notified that it's being worked on, or a phone call saying we're sympathetic to your situation, but we can't help you isn't really what I'm looking for.
We know that.
My name is Lena Harvey. I live in this district, and I came to support Michael Dugan, and I just wanted to give you some statistics.
Could you speak a little closer to the microphone so we could hear you?
All right. So I just wanted to give you some statistics. So from the school district website, the expectation for the new enrollment in the kindergarten will be 307 to 336 students. Out of them, born in December, statistically, it will be between 26 and 28. Now, if we look at Center for Disease Control statistics, extreme prematurity, which is a child born before 28 weeks gestation, 0.73% of births. So for the school district, we're talking 0.2 child a year. So it's really extremely rare case. And by making an exception for Michael, you're not creating a precedent, because it's very easily identifiable clinical definition of extreme prematurity. And it's not for just for Michael, but also for the children who are going to be with him in the same classroom, because the whole classroom is not going to benefit from the child that is not ready for the kindergarten.
Thank you.
Seeing no other speakers, public participation is closed. We thank you for your input, and somebody will get back to you, Mr. Dugan. Okay, can I get a motion for routine business? Lauren, a second. Ronell, any holds, separations? Susan?
I'd like to make a motion for separation on routine business 9.1, approval of the minutes of the April 5th meeting. I'd like to abstain since I
was... No, you don't have to say that. Okay. When we vote, you can say that. Can I get a second on that separation? Ronell, all those in favor? Okay. All those in favor of routine business with the exception of... What number was it, Susan?
9.1.
Raise your hand. Okay, can I then get a motion? You didn't raise your hand.
I didn't raise my
hand. No, you did for that.
That was everything.
Okay, can I get a motion for just the 9.1? Seth, a second. Jody, all those in favor? Abstain? Okay. Okay, we're going to go on to new business. Can I have a motion to adopt the Board of Education meetings for the 2017-2018 year? Ronell, a second. Susan, any questions? All those in favor? Can I get a motion for the approval of the Nassau County Board of Elections MOA? Lauren, a second. Jody, any questions? All those in favor? Can I get a motion to accept the amended Beechwood agreement? Okay.
Right.
Seth, Ronell, any questions? All those in favor? Can I get a motion to enter into executive session for matters of personnel? Lauren, second. Jody, all those in favor? Thank you for coming out tonight. Please drive home safely.